Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, on tonight's programme, I'll be speaking with Charlie Dardy from BIRT, who's chairman of the Donegal Woodland Owners Society Limited. And I'll also be speaking with Henry O'Donnell, the National Vice Chair of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association, which was officially launched in Westport, County Mayo, last weekend. Firstly, let's go to my first guest this evening, and I'm joined on the line by the chairman of the Donegal Woodland Owners Society Limited, Charlie Dardy. There's been some changes of late. Perhaps you can bring us up to date with what's the main focus of attention going to be going ahead this year?
Yes, Chris, how are you? Well, I suppose this year passed, like, I was elected chairman of the Donegal Woodland Owners. John Jackson there was chairman there for seven years. We're almost eight years going now. And, you know, in his time, we've built up a bit of machinery, doing a lot of work, a lot of voluntary work on that. Like, so we felt, you know, that there was a lot of, you know, a lot of time constraints and getting things done, you know, problems with, you know, work, hands-on work that we were doing. You know, we were finding problems with, like, we were buying timber and stolen timber and, you know, getting access to forestries and not getting paid for work and all kinds of things, you know, while it'd been voluntary at the same time. So we decided maybe, you know, a more hands-off approach and maybe at the same time be more involved with our members, getting back to our members, find out what they want and maybe put them in the direction of you know, certain people that would be, we would know would be reliable, you know, just to give them that wee push maybe to get, you know, road grants in and you know, thinnings done and things like that, you know.
So obviously there's a lot of people out there who may have some interest in forestry, but the whole idea of having the Woodland Owners Society, I suppose, essentially is to bring people together and to help each other, and when somebody has an idea that somebody else can benefit from it as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. I suppose, you know, the forestry is a bit different to your cattle and sheep. You know, most people, they know fairly well, you know, they're at it all the time. Forestry is fairly new in Donegal for the private owner, and, you know, they've only done it the once, like, they've planted it. It's coming forward. They don't know when it's due for thinning or to, you know, do they put in road grants? Will they get a grant for putting roads in and all that there? And, you know, because it's new, and I suppose the other thing about the forestry, you know, most of the time it's, you know, it's more elderly people that own forests as well. And maybe, you know, they haven't, you know, they're not, you know, they don't have the energy to work in the forest. So they need a bit of support like that. So we hope to get back to that and maybe get in contact with our members. We've been out more newsletters and stuff like that, and having more field days and bring that together. And as you say, bring people together, get Chagas on board as well in the department and work together and see what's the best way of doing things like that, you know.
We hear a lot about climate change and the phasing out of the use of fossil fuels and how important it is that we have improved the carbon footprint. And this is an area that timber scores well in. There's no doubt about it. We're going to see more forests planted in many countries, including Ireland and places like Donegal, where there's a feeling that we're really underachieving and not exploiting the potential that's there.
Yeah, that's right, Chris. It's a problem in Donegal, actually, you know, because there's a lot of farmers out there want to plant trees, but are restricted, you know, with restrictions in there, with open ground, heather and stuff like that, that they're not allowed to plant. But we do need to, I mean, it's a shame to have land lying idle doing nothing when it has, you know, a good yield class that it can grow good timber. And they have, now the IFA have worked on certain things and they've managed to get some relaxation on that, but it still wouldn't go far enough for Donegal. As far as Donegal, since it closed off for forestry altogether. I mean, if you take, as you say, the climate change and the biomass end of things, I mean, even ourselves, when we put in, you know, the log gasification there down in Lahey, you know, it's only a small thing that we've done, like, but, you know, the premises at the time was using 55,000 euros worth of oil, and like, you know, we put in the gasification and we cut the bill down to 35,000, and as well as that, it was all timber that was used in it. So it was all locally grown timber instead of the oil coming from Saudi Arabia, where the money all has to go away, you know, and whatever the exchequer has to take out of it for taxes. You know, this was all, like, I mean, apart from the chainsaw that they cut the tree, you know, it was all kept within the within Donegal. The timber was grown in Donegal, cut and used in Donegal, and the heat used, and it was working perfectly. Now, we had pushed the government on that, you know, but they didn't take us on it. Now, maybe they prefer to look at the bigger guys like Kulcha and that to do the big jobs, but you know, I think they should look more on that smaller farmers and organizations do things like that. They're talking about a refit tariff, like they're talking about that forever. It's supposed to be still coming. They're going to, if they don't do something before 2020, you know, they're going to have a huge amount of money they're going to be fined a huge amount of money to go back to Europe, and like there should be more incentives that way to get the biomass going, and you know, it'll all help in the long run.
Is it a case out there that you would believe that particularly counties like Donegal, the Western Seaboard counties, that farmers can get an additional source of income from small forestry developments, and even sort of a seasonal income maybe from purely selling things like logs locally?
Aye, definitely. It's the case. Now, if you go to Europe, that's the way a lot of the farmers out there, they do in the summertime, they farm the land, and in the wintertime, they go into the forest. And, you know, they cut down whatever trees and sell it locally. I mean, you can, there's a lot of smaller operations could be used. You have the firewood market, you know, you have fencing posts, you have all kinds of things there that can be used, and it could be done, and farmers could be, you know, get an income from it, is right.
And are the margins reasonably good for simple things like timber for home use and fires?
The firewood market would be pretty good. I know the oil's come back a bit, you know, it's probably putting a bit of pressure on it, you know. But, I mean, you take coal there, like, I mean, you know, I suppose it's smokeless coal now. I mean, they're talking about an all-Ireland ban on the ordinary coal or the real coal or whatever. And, you know, there's definitely a market for that. You know, if you're set up in Midland Way, a wood processor and that there, I mean, you see it. There's a good few guys around the county who are well-established on that and doing quite well on it. And there's certainly more room for more people to start up and do it as well, because, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, if you go to Europe, most, they would laugh at you if you said you were heating your house with oil. Like, they all use wood to heat their houses and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's no reason why Ireland couldn't do the same.
And our growing conditions are very much suited, aren't they? We can produce a lot of timber in a relatively short space of time.
Yeah, in comparison with the European countries, like, you know, Ireland's a wet, mild climate, you know, very suitable for forestry. We have yield classes way beyond Europe and Scandinavian countries, you know, but they are way ahead of us as far as, you know, heating systems and all that there. We have a lot of catching up to do that way, but definitely our yield classes would be way above it, like, you know, would be 3-4 times above the European average.
I'm speaking with Charlie Doherty, who's chairman of the Donegal Woodland Owners Society Limited, and also the Donegal IFA forestry representative up here. In terms, Charlie, of grants and that helping hand for people maybe to put in that little bit of capital investment at the beginning or to acquire the expertise, how is the government support at the moment? I mean, people will always say more can be done, but are we really lagging behind our neighbours in Europe in terms of the supports available for forestry for the smaller person?
Well, the feel they've gone away from the farmer a bit, like, you know, because it used to be that grant premium there was for up to 20 years, which is, it was good enough. It was a good scheme, like, and was, you know, tax free, which was needed. They've turned now and they've decided, you know, that they've opened it to non-farmers as well. So there's outside interest coming from Europe looking coming into byland for forestry, you know, which is taking away the rural end of things, like, you know, when it's, you know, depopulating the rural areas where, you know, maybe the farmers should have that choice better to do that. You know, that's one, you know, disappointing thing we feel that's happened. And they've cut the premium then as well. Same amount of premium, but they've cut it from 20 years to 15 years, you know. That premium is needed, like, because you can't, if you're farming and then you all of a sudden you plant trees, like, you have no income for 15 years. So you need that, or 20 years, depending on how the thing does. And then if you're going to your funds first inning, then you've got another 5 years into it before your second inning or clear fell. So there's definitely more work that needs to be done on it as well, you know.
Okay, just turning briefly, Charlie, to the whole demise of the seed potato sector. I know it's an area that you've been very passionate about in the past. To bring us right up to date, I mean, it's been mentioned there was an IFA meeting with the election candidates this week, and I suppose it's fair to say it's a sore point amongst many people. This was once a great industry in Donegal, and it's whittled away to pretty much nothing.
Yeah, it's quite a shame. All right, now, I mean, as you say, I was pretty passionate about it. Now, and we, like I say, we were on our knees three years ago, and, you know, we looked for help. You know, the problem being the department, you know, as far as we could see, you know, to us, like, they sorted it out with a sledgehammer. They totally decimated this all together. Like, I mean, last year, I actually, like, I wasn't prepared to give it up, but I knew if I was going to go another year, like, they were going to finish me. Like, so I decided myself last year I was going to go into Northern Ireland, and I have to say the difference with the department in there compared to with the department we have is, you know, day and night, you know. I feel the department in Dublin, they just sit up there and they dictate the rules to you, and that's it. Where, like, the guys, they ring you up to see if there's anything they can do for you, you know, in the north, you know, to keep it going. And, you know, you can chat them and discuss what issues you have, and you're able to get around it no problem. I would like to come back to the south here to grow my spuds, because I have the geographical difference. I mean, it's not that big a problem taking them across, but, I mean, just the fact that it's that bit further away, it's a problem getting to and fro. But, no, it's annoying, to tell you the truth. Like, you know, I mean, such a vibrant industry that was one time to go down to completely nothing, you know. We're also limited to our, you know, you have the, like, we've scarce pink and queens would be the main varieties we grow. Now, rooster would be the main variety, which is bred by Chagas, you know, and then it's leased out to, well, IPM has it this last way, like, you know, but they would go to Scotland to grow the seed, and should be pushed that they should get the Irish growers to grow seed instead, you know. But it's very frustrating to say this, Chris, and it's pretty difficult when a guy goes out of the seed end of things. It's, you know, you just can't start it up all of a sudden, you know. And like I say, every time a farmer gets out of it, you know, that's another man gone, and you just can't learn that trade overnight. You know, the seeds quite different to the ware growing. It's definitely more specialised, you know.
Well, we'll watch this space and hope things take a turn for the better. Charlie, many thanks for joining us this evening.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Chris.
Well, turning now to the national launch of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association, which took place in County Mayo last weekend. I've been speaking with the National Vice Chair, Henry O'Donnell, who's from Donegal.
We had a great turnout, Chris. I think there were somewhere in the region of over 800 people turned up on the night, which was huge. We weren't expecting those kind of numbers, to be honest. So we had a very successful night.
And since the association was founded, there's been a big reaction in Donegal.
Very, very much so. I think a lot of farmers in Donegal are realising that the INHFA is representing them on a lot of their issues that are important to them, and that what started off as an issue on common edges and hulls has now taken a life of its own and is representing a lot of farmers in Donegal, because, as I say, our issues are the same with a lot of farmers on low incomes at the moment. the organisation is really starting to take hold. And one thing that united all the speakers was that they said that the INHFA has to get a seat now at all negotiations to do with farming, because it's obvious we're representing a big number of farmers and we need their voice heard. So that's very encouraging when we have those type of people working for us to make sure that our voice is heard both at home and in Europe.
Now, the association's been going around 15 months or so, but last Friday in Westport, this was really to, I suppose, establish it on an official footing.
Very much so. We hadn't had a national launch of the organisation, and we thought it was an important milestone to have and to voice our intentions going forward. And also at the time when an election is coming up, to leave our public representatives and no doubt of what we want for farmers going forward and what they need to do for us if they think they're going to be elected.
And finally, will there be a county structure within Donegal?
There is an informal structure at the moment. We actually have one more regional meeting, which will take place in the Killybegs, Carrick, Glencullen, Kill area. Now, not this incoming week, but the following week. And after that, then, we intend to gather together a lot of people that have voiced an interest and actually been involved in the running of the organisation and the policy making of the organisation. The current things we're looking at here is the review of the ANC payment, which is very important to Donegal farmers. The other thing we're looking at is the third tranche of GLAS. Can we get some changes to make it more meaningful for farmers again? And the other very topical issue at the moment is the whole farm assist system. We're getting to grips with what actually is going on the ground, and there seems to be a bit of a disparity between different areas as to how farmers are assessed. So, again, that's a very important issue that we have to clarify.
Henry O'Donnell there, the National Vice Chair of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association. Just time for the livestock prices. Sheep prices, spring lamb, €5.65 a kilo to 24 kilos. Ewes, €3 to €3.30 a kilo. Cattle prices, steers making €3.90 a kilo. Heifers, €4.05 a kilo. R-grade bulls, €3.80 a kilo. U-grade, €3.90 a kilo. And cows, O-grade, €3.35 a kilo. R-grade, €3.45 a kilo. Well, the clock has beaten us once again. That's it for tonight's programme. From me, Chris Ashmore, until next week, have a very good week.